Today, we're going to talk about how can you look at yourself like an athlete or a corporate athlete and really get on a better rhythm and a better schedule to help yourself perform in the best way possible. Hello and welcome to the Something New Show. My name is Jordan Linscomb. I'm your special guest host for today's episode on being a corporate athlete or being the best you can be, whether you're an entrepreneur or in the workplace in a corporate setting. We're going to talk about how you can show up to be your best, to plan ahead, to fuel well, to perform your best, and also recover in whatever type of work and life environment you're living in today. A lot of times people feel overwhelmed, feel disappointed, feel frustrated. Like there's just so much going on that they're not really bringing their best to what they're doing with work. So as we jump into it, a little bit about myself. My name is Jordan. My wife, Mindy, and I do the show here, and I have a lot going on in life, and I have for several years. Just for example, in these days, we've got four different companies. We have a not-for-profit, and we also help produce the show. More importantly than all of that, we have four kids at home and a marriage that we love and cherish and believe in. And so when it comes to prioritizing life and showing up in all the different ways, it really helps me to look at life as not just something we approach or schedule out or this or that, but look at it as how can I plan like a serious athlete and what I'm doing so I can give my best energy, manage my energy, and manage my time well to get the best results of being a husband, a dad, a business owner, an entrepreneur. So as we jump into it today, I just want to tell you a little bit about where I was a couple of years ago. I worked in a corporate setting with a great organization for nearly 15 years. And as I was there, I would find myself getting to the end of a long workday, and I'd leave my cube, drive home about 10 minutes or so, then I'd show up and man, I was smacked with all these responsibilities in another way after a long day. And I'd get home and say, wow, we've got, you know, kids to help with. We've got to make sure dinner's set, get everybody, you know, going for the evening and homework. And I realized that I was missing out on some ways to better prepare myself and manage from that transition of going from work to the home setting. It wasn't until I got more training on how to better manage my energy and my mindset that I started to see some improvements of like, oh, there's some life hacks and some ways that you can get better at this. So we're going to jump into some things and I'll get back to it of what was a simple, simple trick that helped me make that transition better here in a few minutes. But I want you to really think about looking at how do you start your day? What are the habits you have or don't have? And what are some new ones that you can do so that you build habits or start habit stacking in different ways to help your day be even more successful? I'll just give you a quick breakdown for me. Part of having a great start to the day starts with how you begin the night before. So having a great day actually starts with how you wrap up the day before. And this is something that I think a lot of us are still working on or need to do better at, but you've heard it several times is like, shut that phone off at least 90 minutes before bedtime when you can. Get the blue light out of your system, allow your mind to decompress, to settle you in for a great night's sleep. I'm working this year on averaging 7.5 hours of sleep. It's one of my biggest goals for 2024, saying how can we increase the amount of average hours we are getting of sleep in our home. And so with that, if you're not already heading in their directions, I want to encourage you to aim for at least 7.5 hours of sleep so you can be at your optimal performance for the next day. So the start of a great day starts the evening before with winding down, settling in, getting some great deep sleep for the night. But when I wake up for the day in the mornings, I have the alarm's going off. I'm usually the first one to wake up. Got to get the kids up, got to get them ready for school. There's a couple of easy morning habits that I've implemented for several years now. One of them is the very first thing I would do on my phone is for me and our walk in following Jesus, I'm going to hit the Bible app. I'm going to at least look at the verse of the day as a quick way to start my mind, my spirit, and get everything off to a great start. If you pick up your phone as one of the first things in the day, and it's one of the last things you set down in the evening, you have developed a habit, whether you realize it or not. So it's like, if that's going to be the case, I'm going to hit the same app every time and start my day framed with God's truth for my life and have a quick, simple reminder of a scriptural truth to start the day. Yeah, sure, I wake the kids up, I get them going, but there's two other things that I make sure happen in my morning. One is I do at least a liter of lemon water. And so we live in Colorado. It's high altitude. You're basically dehydrated every day that you wake up, whether you like it or not. And so putting a little bit of lemon juice or lime juice in your water really helps your metabolism and your energy management for the day to come. So hydrating, fueling well for the day, even before breakfast, that's one of the key things I'll start with. And then I also actually, for over 4 years now, have been doing a cold shower in the morning. Now, there's all the hype about cold plunging or cold showers or this or that. But I've talked with a lot of my buddies. They say actually the shower is harder than the plunge. I haven't done much of the plunge yet here in our house. But with it, the cold shower, here's what it does for me mentally. One, it's a consistent habit. Two, if I start the day with something really tough and really hard, I know that I can tackle really hard things that may come along the way, decisions we have to make, unexpected things that come along the way. Because I've proven to myself I can get out of bed and I can do something difficult before I face the day ahead. So I am setting the tone in my life to say, you know what, I can wake up, I can embrace something challenging, something I may not feel like doing, but I can get going. And that kind of mindset to be a champion and overcome to start the morning. So the cold shower is something I've implemented. Other people do the plunge, you name it, but that's a great habit. On the physiological side, what it's doing as well, it shoves proteins into your liver. It helps get oxygen into the core of your body. And if you do this, you'll notice that it's actually really hard to be angry or upset after a cold shower because you've basically infiltrated the core of your body with more oxygen. And it helps me feel better. I feel proud of myself. And there's loads of health benefits that you can research and look up beyond this episode. So there's a couple of morning hacks and things I do to prep for the day. As we're doing that, another thing we try to implement is not hitting the snooze button. We've gotten the training that it's so easy to do that. But if you're in leadership, if you're leading a team, or if you want better self-leadership to lead yourself, try to stop hitting the snooze button. Set a time where you really need to get up, tackle the day, start the day in which way you said, hey, I'm sticking to my commitments. I'm getting up out of bed and getting going for the day. So part of it is fueling well and preparing for the day. Let's talk a little bit more about preparation. If you watched other episodes, you've heard that Mindy and I really look at the whole year and we first book out what are some key family moments, family vacation, family trips that we want to do in the calendar year. But then you break it down to a week by week overview. We spend Sunday, part of our Sunday evening, to look at the week ahead. And as we do that, we're really taking control of our schedule as much as we can to say, here's how we're going to prepare for the week ahead. So how we can perform well at work or running our businesses and our companies, and how we can bring our best and perform well when we're being parents, when we're in that moment of living life together as a family. So another aspect of prep is just knowing your time schedule, knowing your calendar, and being really, really adamant about quality time management for your week. That's another aspect of preparing. So certainly there's all the other aspects of, you know, eating healthy, fueling your body well with fuel and prep. For me personally, I'm a big fan of macadamia nuts, avocado, other healthy fats that help me throughout the day. Sincerely, for myself, I'm eating a lot of meat, cheese, nuts, salad, getting a relevant amount of carbs. But those are some of my hacks and things that I'm doing throughout the day, even if I'm in Zoom meetings or in-person meetings, just having some of those healthy snacks to get me through the morning and through the day. So let's talk a bit more about getting into key work hours for your day. Maybe you've gotten things set, your morning habits, you got kids to school, you've made your commute. If you have the commute, by the way, I just want to encourage you, like, take advantage of that time to be listening to a book, to be listening to a podcast or something that can build you up, something that can better educate you or better equip you for what you're doing. Some of you already do this, but I've listened to so many books just by taking advantage of 10-minute slots of going around town, picking up our kids, occasionally running errands and things. So be doing that as well to help you with whatever aspect or industry of work you're in. Take advantage of those times because it compounds over time. And that's key education times that you can be learning more, going deeper into what you're doing through audiobooks or even shows like this. All right, but when it comes to performing in the day, when you show up, whether it's a home office or you're going in a corporate setting, I want you to think about what is my role on the team. You might be the team leader, you might be a specialist, you might be whatever aspect of the team you're on, small business, big corporation. I want you to look at what's the main thing that I've created to do in my entrepreneurial business or that I'm hired to do in the company? And how can I help move the needle? What are the biggest needle moving things I can do to help this organization, help this company, help this cause? And I want you to focus on doing that in the early hours of the day. With that, you're going to perform better in those first 3 to 4 hours of the day than the rest of the day after lunch. And so look at it, and you might have a list of 15 different things. You know, I fall into this temptation too much. I've got a list of 23 things on my phone right now. But you really got to distill it down to say, what's the top one thing that matters the most to advance this morning? What's the thing that only I can do in my role that no one else can do, or very few people on the team can do, that I really need to move forward? And aim at that one thing, maybe two or three things in a morning segment, okay? But if you look at 17 things, you're not going to get much of any of them done. But if you look at 1 to 3 things that you can tackle and tackle the hardest thing first, then you're going to find you can really push yourself to get through that during your best mental and physical hours of the day. So again, when it comes to performing and what we're doing with work, tackle the hard things first and make them limited but achievable objectives. If you aim for too many goals at the same time, you might not accomplish any of them. But if you aim for 1 or 2, you can get some progress. And what happens is you feel better about yourself as you make progress on that first one. And that builds momentum as you go into the second one and the third one. And if you have a habit of that over the course of the week, you're going to accomplish 7 to 14 or more things as you get after it during those key morning hours of your work.
This episode is sponsored by Something Blue 30A. Looking for the perfect vacation spot to disconnect from everything, put your feet in the softest sand, and enjoy a fresh, renovated 2-bedroom, 2.5-bath townhouse right on the beach in my favorite place in the world? Well, 30A is situated in the Panhandle of Florida, and I'd love for you to check out Something Blue 30A on Instagram and make it the perfect place for your next vacation.
Another element I want you to look at is the mental aspect of when you're showing up in your workspace, the mental aspect of when you're showing up at home and all the different things. You know, we're kind of jumping back to the morning prep and the other things. Your mindset really matters and how you talk to yourself, how you're talking about your day. You know, for myself personally, there's a couple of key things I'll tell myself every morning. Just for me, it's one of them is, I thank God that I walk, talk, look, and act and behave like a man created in the image of Jesus Christ. That's something I have to remind myself every day, to speak identity, to speak truth, to speak courage into my heart with what I do before I face the day. And there's moments as you're performing in your day where you might need to stop and pause and say those reminders. What's the truth about you? What's the truth about you as a leader? Take a moment and do those mental reminders of who you are in your identity before the day and even as you're performing throughout the day. As we get going, though, you've got a busy work day. There's a lot going on. You know, for us, we jump in and a lot of stuff's happening all in the same business day. Surprises come up. That happens to everybody, okay? But I want you to understand that as you're building these habits, you start to learn how to handle stressors better in the workplace and at home. There's a key thing that Mindy and I learned more about in the last couple over this last 2 years. And I was talking to my friend Justin Roethling Schofer lately. We were saying that the crazy thing is the body can't really tell the difference between physical stress or emotional stress or spiritual stress or all the things. And as we were diving into it, he said, to the body, it's just stress. And so we have to train our bodies. How do we respond to stress and how do we bounce back better and make that muscle stronger to react to stress? Because it's going to come up. I'll put some notes in the episode notes down below, but I want you to look up and better understand more about your heart rate variability. And this is a key measurement or metric that if you have an Apple Watch, if you have a Whoop or other tools, you need to start looking at how is your body bouncing back from really stressful moments of your day and your season or your week, and how is your heart rate responding to high stress, low stress, and then keeping a good, healthy management of that as you go throughout your lifestyle. The heart rate variability is one of the most important health metrics in your life. We're not going to dive very deep into it today, but with that, the more resilient you can make your heart and your heart rate, the better you're training your body to respond to stressful seasons from all those different aspects of stress that we just talked about. Okay. And so that's one thing I want you to do as a takeaway from today's episode is get to learn more about heart rate variability. You can track it on your watch. You can track it on an iPhone. And as you dive into that, you're going to notice there's certain things that'll make you more resilient with your HRV. And there's certain things that'll totally trash and mess up your HRV. So the more sleep you get, the less alcohol you're consuming or zero, it's going to help you be more resilient as you look at how your body's responding to stressors throughout the week. So that's one thing as you're looking at your performance and even tracking some metrics and some measurements, saying how am I handling stress throughout the day with the unexpected and what may come. All right, you've got a busy day. You're several hours in. You maybe had a lunch break. You obviously want to have a healthy lunch to keep you fueled well to perform at your best, right? You're in the game. You're in the zone. It's the second or it's the third quarter, right? One thing that's helped me is to not open email first thing during the day. Now, it depends on the job. It depends on the responsibilities you may have. But if you're in a place where you can get to those core, you know, one or two tasks that matter the most to move the needle in your work, do that in the morning hours. And if you can manage your work lifestyle, where you can even have an out-of-office message or an auto-reply that, hey, I typically check emails, from 1 to 3 p.m., that's a life hack that you can use in some situations and some circumstances and just help train other people around you of when are the times that you're going to be receiving and responding to your inbox, okay? For me, if I try to do it all throughout the day and other elements, it just starts to get overwhelming. It gets distraction. It's that whole squirrel thing. And then before you know it, you've lost track of what's that one, two, or key things you have to do for that morning or for that day to move the needle. So again, when possible, try to shift your inbox management to something that you do more after lunch. Keep the morning hours for what matters the most. And then after you have lunch and your blood sugar levels are changing and your body's feeling that difference, okay, you might feel maybe a little sluggish, honestly, sometimes in the afternoon hours or feel like having a nap. That's when you can do some tasks that require perhaps a little less mental energy, a little less focus, but you can create and stack some time slots of when you can respond to your inbox and manage that. All right, a full day, maybe you've been looking at a screen, you've been in Zoom meetings or other elements throughout the day. I want to encourage you with a couple of other practical tips. One thing is we all need to touch and smell something real every day. I love this advice. It's helped me so much. I remember being in a cube or conference rooms and I'm just like, hey, we're making good progress, but on the other hand, get me out of here. I want some fresh air. And so one thing I'd do is I would take a walk or I'll go out and get some sunshine anytime I can to get out of a building setting to reconnect with creation around us. And it could be a simple thing as like finding some pine needles on a tree, breaking a few off, smelling that, reconnecting, regrounding yourself with where you are and what's going on in the environment and the world around you, not just a digital screen environment. And then another couple of hacks, if you get a break between calls, between meetings, just the simple power of doing 10 push-ups, 15 push-ups, something that helps you move your body that will help you change your mind. It'll help you bounce back. It'll help you snap out of things. So again, we've really benefited from this training over time. If you're feeling funky, you're feeling gross, you're just not feeling it during a busy workday or a stressful workday, if you move your body, it will help reframe and change your mind. All right? Look at it in a whole week. If you've had a couple of stressful days, you need to stop and create some space for physical exercise. Because if you move your body, I promise you, it will change the way you feel and it'll change the way you think for the better. The endorphins get going. All these things on the inside will help you perform better for the work day ahead or the next day tomorrow. I want to jump back and share another hack that works for me. Now, this is going back to the morning hours, but one thing is grounding. If you, you've probably heard about some of this, but if you have any way to get your bare feet onto soil, even a cement slab that's connected to soil outside of your house, there are so many benefits of what it does to help regulate the alkalinity levels in your body. Okay. It basically can literally take stress from your body and shove it into the earth below you. And so we're going to keep it high level here today, but if you could do any grounding in the mornings or in the evenings after your long workday, That's going to be a big plus, and you can see a physical difference over time. Another aspect, get sunshine between work meetings, between calls, especially in the morning hours. If you can get some sunlight directly on your face, on your eyes, it's going to help wake up your brain and prepare you for the day. And it's also great for breaks in between a busy work day. All right. And then another thing with performing, as you're wrapping up your day, you know, you get towards the later work hours, maybe it's 3, maybe it's 5 for some of you. If you're going back into some heavy responsibilities in the afternoon or the evening, I want you to think about, how do you fuel yourself well before you re-enter that environment? So to come back to it, I used to leave my cube, go home like on an empty stomach. I was thinking, okay, like, you know, we'll have dinner, this or that. But that first hour at home just felt hard. Like maybe people were grumpy. I wasn't feeling, you know, my best. A simple hack of just having a protein bar or a healthy snack the last 15 or 20 minutes while you're at work or you're at your business before you're heading home did wonders. It can do wonders for you. It did it for me. All right. But if you just simply take some time, say, how do I fuel myself and fuel my body so I have mental and physical energy before I re-engage with my wife and my kids or a family? Simple, easy life hack I'd love for you to try and implement if you're not doing that already. And then as you're you know, managing life, again, we're fueling, we're prepping, we're performing our best at work. I want you to understand that everybody needs to have a healthy coping mechanism. If people don't get intentional about this, then they fall into really bad habits, right? People are wanting a dopamine hit in some form or another. I want you to figure out, how can you proactively create some healthy coping mechanisms in your life? And so for some, that might be running, might be weightlifting, or all of the above. I've experimented with some things in the past by doing half marathons. My friend Spence gave me some great advice years back about a run, walk, run approach for doing 5Ks or half marathons or long distance running. And I just want to share the quick lesson I learned through this. So I did my first one in Denver years back. It was a beautiful, you know, kind of 32 degree May morning. And I had prepped for 16 weeks leading up to that half marathon. But with the run, walk, run approach, it's this wild but true principle that you basically do your warm up, you start running for the day, but then when you're about 4 minutes in for the schedule I was doing, you would actually stop and slow down and walk for about 35 seconds, and then you'd start running again for another 4 minutes. So there's a whole formula to it. I'll put a couple of links for you down in the notes below, but you can, the lesson learned from this method is, by putting in little increments of 30, 35 second walks into the race, it allowed the body to actually use the endorphins that were building up while I was running. Okay. And then when you start walking and give a little time and space and slow down, it floods those endorphins into your body and then allows you to recharge and continue for the long haul instead of those just building up. Because if you run the whole half marathon, endorphins are building up and get released later. But if you implement the little walks along the way with this run, walk, run approach, you actually benefit from those throughout the whole race. And it really helps with endurance and for the long haul. So I did my first one in Denver. I finished in 2 hours and 3 minutes. It was my first one. I was just aiming to finish, okay? Really wanted to break that 2 hour mark. I'm going to still do that, hopefully, my next one that I do. But I've done 2 half marathons now with 16 weeks of training. And we trained that way to implement walks and slowdowns in the middle of the process, and I completed the race in that way. And the guy who refined this approach has said he's taking elite runners and actually helped them reduce their overall times, increase their personal records or their PR by implementing walking. It sounds so crazy. It sounds like very backwards thinking, but I think there's a big lesson there in life. If we just push, but we don't create some time and space or some margin, we may be missing out on how we could perform even better. So I'm a huge fan of it. Again, I'll share more below on how you can research that if you're interested into it, or send any comments. We'll be happy to share ideas. I did a second half marathon in Florida at sea level. Did the same approach. Loved it. Can't wait to do it again. It's one of my goals for this year. All right. So we talked about fueling, prepping, and performing. I want to talk a little bit about a fourth and final category, and that's about recovering. When it comes to recovery, here's the thing. Everybody knows the feeling of getting worn out. Everybody knows the feeling of pushing themselves really hard, leaving it all on the field. Okay. You've done everything you can, but have you really prepared for your recovery? And there's a story I've learned from a leader in my life, but he was saying that you have to be just as strategic about your recovery plan as you are with your execution plan. And I'm gonna say that again. A lot of us are really good at, I'm gonna plan out all that I'm gonna tackle and do for the week, right? But when it goes back to that time where you schedule out your week, are you really intentionally planning blocks and segments for recovery? If you're not, you're missing out on something that can really optimize your performance as a corporate athlete, as an entrepreneurial athlete, as an athlete in the workplace, okay? So you just have to be dogmatic. You have to be very serious and tenacious about creating margin, about creating time and space for you to recover mentally, physically, spiritually, and all the aspects of who you are as a human. So with that, it might be having some time at home, having some time with your family, creating some time for you to go away and be alone. You might be more introverted where you need a little bit of time and space just for yourself to recharge. I want to encourage you to plan your recovery. Plan a day of rest throughout your week. And it doesn't mean it's just Sunday. It might be whatever day of the week it is for you, okay? But with that, I want you to be really adamant about your recovery so you can have a healthy cycle of fueling, preparing, performing, and recovering. If you follow this, I promise you it will help you increase your effectiveness in what you're doing, increase your effectiveness in work and at home. And so if you hear the main theme about this, you got to build in a lot of habits into your life. You probably have some already, but here's the deal. Under pressure, you will relate to your habits or your lack of habits. Under pressure, you're going to relate to your habits or lack of habits. That's something I've learned from Ed Mylett. He shared with a ton of us through his show. But habits matter. At the end of the day, when things get stressful, when things are falling apart, your habits are what's going to show up in your life and in your lifestyle. So my encouragement for you as we wrap up today is I want you to see how can you implement one additional habit into your lifestyle over the next 18 days. Research has shown it takes 18 days of consistently doing something for a habit to be implemented and stick into someone's life, okay? And it's those small, you know, you've heard about Atomic Habits, one of the best-selling books of the last year, but those small little 1% incremental improvements can make a massive difference. So again, if we come back to it, feeling overwhelmed, not feeling strategic, not feeling on task, not feeling like you're the best version of yourself, I want you to look at your whole situation of how can I look at it more like an athletic event to fuel well, to prep well, to perform at my best, and then also recover well in a very intentional strategy. So my encouragement to you over the next 18 days, what's one habit you can add into your lifestyle from some of the things we discussed or other ideas that you find that match your situation and stick to it for 18 days. See if it helps you. Get it going, refine it, get it in a cycle of how you approach your day, approach your week. And then after that, what's one additional thing that you can do to push yourself to keep being the best version of yourself? And if you show up in that way as an athlete in your life, I promise you, you're going to find better performance and more fulfillment with how you're approaching the day. Hey, thanks so much for watching this episode of the Something New Show. We'd love if you would like below if you're watching on YouTube, subscribe if you haven't already if you're watching on YouTube, and also leave a comment. What's your biggest takeaway from today's lesson and overview? We'd love to hear from you. And thanks so much for joining us. Keep your eye out for more episodes on how to create a life worth celebrating here at the Something New Show. Cheers.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to subscribe to the show, rate, review, and share with a friend. Also, follow the Something New Show on Instagram and Facebook. If you want a fuller experience, watch the show on YouTube to help you create a life worth celebrating.